the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's old Shazia's here. Hope all y'all doing well out there. I threw a link up in the Awake chat room and the Shazia's Radio chat room for Revolution Green. They're trying to collect some funds up to do a 3D printer. You know, there's a lot of really good researchers out there in the alternative energy community, and most of them, most generally, just like a lot of our network affiliates, are basically on their own dime in order to be able to try to accomplish certain goals, such as, you know, bringing some information to the table and running tests and all that. So go over and check out Revolution Green if you like, and see if you like what they're doing and you believe in the cause, and maybe you can help them out, and that would be wonderful. Shaziz Mad Science never really asks anybody for anything because, you know, I put on my deal in search for free energy. When I mean free energy, it means also I don't want to be trying to sell anybody any kind of alternative energy device plans or anything like that. For me, it's not the whole getting rich deal, nor is it to get famous, even though I've had some folks tell me at some point, oh, you know, you just try to promote yourself. Well, if that was the case, I'd probably be using my my birth name as opposed to my Mad Science name, and I would, you know, try to make myself famous. Hey, look at me, look at me. And that's not what it's all about. Never has been. But, you know, I feel like this world is really in need of some serious solutions, and that's why I do what it is that I do. It's why I get up early in the morning and come and do these radio shows and do my YouTube and try to put some ideas out there for people to think about. If you go over and you look at my YouTube channel and you check out some of my videos, I go about it in a creative way, trying to point out some things to some folks and to try to get people to think outside the box for themselves as opposed to just believing everything that they're told. You know, one of the things that drives me the most insane is the whole global warming / climate change scam that's going on. And the lie's been told so many times that even good folks find themselves in there questioning whether it's real or not real, you know, and they'll go out there and they'll begin to preach climate change / man-made global warming. You know, and they go off of information that was biased information with bogus science behind it, and they just spread it like it's truth. It's not. It's not truth, and it never has been truth. And they say, you know, like B.O., the president up there, supposedly, he says stuff like, you know, all the debate's over and climate change is real and this and that. And I don't believe debate's over. I don't believe the debate ever began. I believe it was a scam from start to finish. Just like the whole hole in the ozone layer and so on and so forth. And, you know, I don't even want to turn this show into a global warming deal because it just, I get aggravated. But the whole thing is that the biggest point of even bringing that up to begin with is the fact that here you are, some folks all over this world throwing regulation after regulation on the average Joe. You can't do this, you can't do that. We got to save the planet, we got to stop the carbon emissions and all this kind of stuff. But yet here we are, the year 2015, knowing full well that there's tons and tons of technology out there. Tons of lost hidden technology or whatever, you know, that just doesn't get used. It goes by the wayside. Stan Myers was driving around in the late 70s in a dune buggy that ran on water, for Pete's sake. Muddy just put out a link to a video where they have a Stirling engine that they've been running since 92 in the doggone military bases. They've been running this Stirling engine inside a truck and a van. So it isn't like we can't do it. It's more along the lines as they don't do it, you know, for whatever financial reasons or whatever, you know, economy, you know, we don't want to put people out of jobs giving them free energy or whatever the scam may be. But, you know, if you're going to complain about global warming, and if you're going to say there's this big danger going on out there in this world, that if we don't get this under control, that we're gonna the ice sheets are gonna melt and we're all gonna be underwater, or the polar bears are gonna drown, or the planet's gonna wreck itself, or whatever, then, you know, you ought to be backing every single idea out there that has any kind of plausibility whatsoever, any solution. You know, when during the BP oil spill, I got so angry at that whole deal because no matter how many people came to table with good natural ideas on how to save the environment, they just overlooked it all. You know, hey, we got our science guys on it. They know what's going on. You know, we'll do what we do. And they did what they did. They put tons and tons of chemicals in the water called Corexit that we're now seeing some major side effects of. And it's not going to get any better because they continue to use the same old crud in the water. But, you know, call it what you want. I just call it sheer stupidity. Mad science to me isn't just about talking about alternative energy devices and things like that. You know, that's where my my field of study is. I'm into plasma technology and frequency technology. And so, somehow or another, I got to figure out a different way to word the things that I say to people when I'm trying to explain to them what it is that I'm researching and what I'm trying to do on my videos, because, you know, I've been called everything but a white man for whatever reason. They don't like what I'm trying to say because it goes against the book, you know. It doesn't match what the book says, so they don't like it, you know. Well, you know, the whole point of stepping into the future is stepping outside the box and trying things, even if they're for the first time or maybe even the second or third time, to try things to see whether or not you can get the results that you require in order to get the energy usage that you need. And so if there's a concern out there about burning fossil fuels, then let's go somewhere else and burn something else. Let's use energy efficiently. Let's work in harmony with nature and, you know, do it the clean route. You know, it just drives me insane because here you got guys, gals out there in the nuclear industry that are using radioactive material to boil water. That's it. You boil the water, you refine this uranium or plutonium or whatever it is they use in there nowadays. I can't even remember and I don't even care. Because it's stupidity. It's flat out sheer stupidity. Not only do they build them on fault lines knowing that there's a potential of an earthquake sometime in future history, and if this stuff is as dangerous as they say, which I don't even know that's the case because of the video called Nuclear Scare Scam. If you haven't seen that, I suggest you go watch it. It's a pretty enlightening video. So maybe there is no danger in the radiation out there. And if that's the case, if there really is no danger in the radiation out there from the Fukushima or whatever, then that means that we've had free energy all along they've just been keeping it under their hat so that they can keep control of who makes the electricity and how they get their money and taxes and so on and so forth. Now, we don't have any representation out there in our government. It's just a bunch of crooks running amok. That's all there is to it. They don't listen to nothing you say. And I'm not even sure elections even matter. Because when you go there and you think you're voting for the guy that everybody else is voting for because you've talked to everybody and his brother around the neighborhood, and it seems like inevitably every single time the opposite guy that you don't want in there gets elected. So who knows, maybe it's the case that they're both on the same side or whatever. For whatever purpose, our system seems to be broken and it works the way that it works because money makes the world go around in this day and age. You know, I don't ask for any donations or anything like that to keep the radio show up and going. I don't ask for any donations for anything. If somebody wanted to send me some old junk radios or something like that that I could get parts out of or something that they thought that would benefit me, that, you know, I wouldn't turn that down. If they're going to mail me something through the mail, just, you know, friend to friend kind of thing to help my research, that would be all right. But I don't ask for, you know, no money. Don't give me I don't want no donations. You know, but there are folks out there trying to do research that probably could use a hand up. And so if you can help them out there, if you can help out any of the radio networks out there, or WAKE or TCT or 1800 Online or TinaSoar or all of them, you know, if you can help out any of them, You know, they're doing a service for everybody, you know, out of the goodness of their heart and on their own dime, because they want to try to make the world a better place, and I'm pretty sure that's what we're all here for. We're not here for fame or fortune or get rich or anything like that. We're just here to try to make the world a better place. My Mad Science Show entails talking about everything that has to do with science and the ludicrousy of the way that society is running, when we should have every problem solved out there. We know how to irrigate land. We know how to get water to those who need it. But yeah, we'll spend billions of dollars going out there trashing somebody else's country or bombing or fighting amongst one another. You know, I get a little passionate about that. Heck, I've even cried on the radio a few times. Made a fool out of myself as far as I'm concerned. You know, men don't cry. But that's the world we live in, man. It's the world we live in. You know, soon Muddy will be calling in here, him and Justin, but I'm just saying, I want this world to be a better place just like you want to be a better place. I've got a lot of projects that I'm working on. I hope to get videos out. I'm doing it on my own dime, and so it takes me a little bit longer to get things done. And there's folks out there trying to get them a 3D printer, you know. I'm sure that if I needed something printed up, that I could work a deal out with them and get something printed up for me or whatever. And so that's what it's all about for me, you know. And I come here every Saturday for the Mad Science Show, and we get together on Sundays for the Knights of the Round Table. We try to bring ideas and solutions to the table. Sometimes we get a little crazy. Sometimes we're a little upset, whatever. We're just people out here trying to do the right thing. And that those folks out there who are supposed representatives of the world, parliament, individuals, senators, congressmen, if they really cared about anything, if they were really knowledgeable in anything, they would be paying attention to what we're talking about. I mean, if we the people can figure it out, I'm sure that they got enough brains in their head to figure it out. Otherwise, they're just either doing it deliberately or just flat out stupid. And how they got into office was because of that fact that they were stupid. And somebody said, I'll put this guy in there and then he'll do whatever I want him to do. So on and so forth. You know, got to talk about corruption in government, because we're talking about mad science here. We're talking about the reason why we're doing what we're doing, trying to find different alternative energy methods. Now, I know that energy's free. I know it. And I'm going to prove it. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to prove it. Yeah, there they are.
You're live.
Hey, how's it going? You're live, guys. So anyway, like I was saying, we've got a lot of good individuals out here, a lot of brilliant minds that we have access to, and really good friends and people from all over the world. And together, you know, we could accomplish a whole lot. There's so much that we could do together. There are, like I said, individuals out there doing research that is really good, valuable research, that if you can help them out and try to further their research, that would be an awesome deal. You know, these folks at the top up there, if they cared, if this whole deal was such a serious episode, the whole global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever, then why aren't we driving around in cars like Stan Myers was with the water? Why aren't we driving around in Stirling engines like the link that Muddy posted everywhere on the planet? Why aren't we doing that?
Like Tesla.
Yeah, why aren't
90 miles an hour. Not bad.
Yeah, well, the technology's there. It has been all along. Now, the research that I'm involved in, it's different than the mainstream research. It's I'm I got to find better ways to explain to people how it is that the understanding that I have of electricity, you know, I was a boiler technician in the Navy, so I know electrical, I know steam power, I know mechanics, and worked on cars all my life, so I know how things work. And I see this visually in my head, how electricity functions is according to the way that I was taught in school and science and everything like that. But here's the difference, is that I look at a different way to get the current flow going than the average method. Right now we use a brute force magnetic field to shake loose the extra electron on the copper atom in order to create the current flow that we've got going on. And so many times I've made people angry because I say I don't care about current, watts and amps. All I care about is the voltage alone. Voltage is pressure. When you have a high voltage, the faster that wave is a kicking, the higher the frequency, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that high voltage pulse that is sending out the high frequency wave. If you look at how a microwave oven functions, you'll notice that it sends a short, fast, super fast microwave inside the microwave oven. And since water is a dipole molecule and has a positive and a negative field on it, then every time the peaks and valleys rock through that water molecule, it causes that water molecule to rock so fast that it literally creates friction, which in turn creates heat and cooks your food. The same thing, I believe, can be accomplished using the right frequency to literally target specific just the electrons themselves and get the same amount of current flow without using an external field such as a strong magnetic field, either via permanent magnets or an electromagnetic field using coils. And so if you can visualize what I'm trying to explain here, when you key down on a CB radio and that signal goes up that antenna, there is a frequency wave going up that antenna that is then transferred out through the air to in a big radius to any other antenna out there and receiver that is on that same frequency. We'll be able to hear what you just said. If it isn't on that frequency, then they won't be able to hear what you said. So there is such a wide range of frequencies out there, from all the way back on the negative side, all the way on the forward side. Energy travels in waves. And so if you can send a frequency down that wire, just the same way that you're sending the frequency up the antenna, you can create the same effect that you would get in a microwave oven while rocking those water molecules back and forth. You could get the same effect with the electron itself and get the electron flow. If it was done this way, in my view, from my research, then you wouldn't have wasted energy off of that system, and it wouldn't take near as much energy on the input side to get the effect that you want. That magnetic field only has to come in contact with an opposing magnetic field to either cause the attraction or the repulsion that we get when we're spinning our motors or generators around. It doesn't have to be 3 or 4 feet outside the shell of the machine. It has to just come in contact with the magnetic field on the opposite side. Opposites attract and positives repel each other. So if you can visualize what I'm saying, you could take a couple magnets and you could have them maybe a foot away on a table. The closer you get, you'll start noticing an interaction. There's a sweet point in between those two magnets to where now those fields will begin to couple with one another, and when they do, those magnets will slam together. So by sending the right frequency wave...
Because there is no north and south pole on a magnet. It's an opening and a closing. And as the waves that you speak, there is no lines of on a magnet. They're waves that are constantly spinning around the magnet. So using iron filings is an incorrect method of seeing the waves.
Well, either way, by using this method, you're only using the energy that it takes to get the result that you want. You're not wasting energy. Therefore, like, for example, I talk about the 60 hertz system over here in the United States, and I think they're on 50 hertz overseas. Well, anything above that frequency will cause that electric motor to get hot and eventually burn off the insulation on the wire and destroy it. The method that I'm talking about and the research that I'm doing is sending just the amount of frequency wave down to that thing to get that interaction between those electrons to create that magnetic field to turn that electric motor without putting in any more or any less than it actually needs. If it begins to warm up, you can tune it back just a hair so that it doesn't cause any wear and tear on that motor. The only wear and tear you would get would be any mechanical bearings or whatever that after so long. But normally bearings only go bad when they get hot. The less heat that's in the motor, the less the chance that those bearings are going to get too hot. And so this is what I'm talking about. And as far as my plasma technology, if you can visualize the plasma as a variable capacitor, a variac, or a potentiometer, which essentially you're tuning up and you're tuning down, and on the opposite side of that, if you could look at the mercury arc rectifier where the high voltage AC comes in one side, it pressurizes the plasma on the other side. The electron flow can only go in one direction. Now you've got high voltage DC coming out at whatever frequency range that you have that tuned to. And so therefore, that's what my research entails. Now I suppose if I had been able to figure out how to use the proper terminology ahead of time, it probably would have saved me a friendship or two and kept me from getting under attack all the time for what I'm trying to say, because it goes against the grain of what mainstream electricity, electronics, or electrical, whatever people light. Think.
Everything's light.
Well, light is heat, heat is light, vice versa. You know? So...
about the coils and the standing wave ratios. Anytime you have a coil that resonates, you have a resonance. You go outside the resonance, you have standing waves which go back and heat things up.
Yeah, coils are incorrect. Don't use coils at all for any. A generator cannot be a motor.
Look, you still have to have people make motors, they make all this stuff, they have... you can't just put a solid wire out there and say, okay, let's transmit, unless you have it long enough and all that kind of stuff. Your CB uses coils.
No,
tune circuit.
Motor
you
itself
got to have coils, dude.
Not have
the subject.
Listen.
A motor and a generator are two different things. A generator that is producing power with over unity cannot have coils in it. Coils equal resistance. As a magnet passes a coil, you get a cogging effect, resistance.
X of L.
Which you can make non-existent. You can make non-existent.
They have different resistance. Look, a coil
that's changed. Lenz put change in Faraday's law, which is how can one man put a change in another man's formula?
Justin, a coil in resonance has zero resistance. Okay? Yeah, you go outside of that resonant frequency and you start gaining in resistance. That's
well, why have a coil at all? Why create an equation when you don't need to?
You need coils in some things.
Well,
not
for,
everything's
not
all not generator. And
not
a
generator.
Everything's not motors and generators, dude.
Here's
the wouldn't work without a coil.
Here's the way I see it. One loop of wire, one turn of wire will give you a certain strength of magnetic field because it only has so many electrons in it. The more turns you add to that will strengthen that field up. Now, determining on the thickness of the wire or the thinness of the wire will determine on the high voltage or the high current portion of the deal. Like such as plumbing, you know, you can put a lot of water, a lot of volume of water down a big pipe, and you'll get the current flow that you need, which is a lot of pressure behind there. Or you can put a smaller pipe connected to that and force that same water down the smaller pipe, which will increase the pressure on it. So just the way that you would have to add more smaller pipes side by side with each other to get the same amount of volume on the opposite side, the same way you would have to use the coils in the standard design that we've got electric motors and generators today. There are generators out there and electric motors that instead of using like a rotor that has coils on it, that they're actually going to like aluminum and some other type of metal as the rotor itself. And so, you know, there are methods by which you could actually decrease how much copper wire you'd actually have to have in it. But either way, to the basics of it all, how it all functions to begin with, to get the current flow, we're still at the same point. The same machinery that they're using now is basically the same machinery they were using back in the 1800s. You know, either a strong magnetic field, be it an electromagnet or a permanent magnet system to shake loose the electrons on each turn of that wire. With only one turn of wire, you can only get so much current flow, and so on and so forth. The more you add, the more current flow you can get to going in there. There's where the copper turns come in there, Justin.
Yeah, Tesla coil wouldn't work without coils.
No. If
you wouldn't be able to get the higher voltage. The only way to sit there and basically get a voltage lower than the one that you're using would be through a resistor network.
Okay, so to
and the resistor network would bleed off a lot of heat because that's nothing but resistance, and you'd waste a lot of power.
Okay,
so have coils in some things, Justin.
So to deny the Tesla coils that are on the Egyptian pyramids is to deny having a Tesla coil with no coils. Just a solid sphere.
Are you denying the fact that there were coils underneath the sucker?
So, listen, guys, that's neither
here
nor there.
There's an atmosphere around every single element.
Yeah, but underneath those bulbs was a coil. The coil boosted
So you've never heard of the Del Palma. You've never heard of the End Machine. You've never heard of the Faraday disc. You've never heard of Michael Faraday.
Well, I understand you get high voltage out of things like that, but what I'm trying to say, those bulbs had a coil under them to sit there and amplify the resonance. Yes, they had coils.
Well, regardless, guys, it's neither here nor there. I think we're arguing over the same thing in different terminology.
Well, I'd like to stay on the same subject. What I'm hearing off to the coils and magnets and electrons are the same thing and all this stuff here. It's always the same subject. I'm sorry. You can't just change the subject because you want to talk about something is what I'm getting at. And I don't care if somebody hates me or likes me.
Yeah.
I'm just sick and tired. I want to hear the rest of what you're trying to say without being interrupted with discrepancies.
Well, you know,
if that's enough to be said.
Everything.
We're just having a conversation.
Hey,
yeah,
come on.
It is a conversation. It doesn't mean every time you hear a certain word into something that all of a sudden it goes back to the same subject, dude.
Listen, this is... Listen,
can you understand that?
Listen, this is the same...
I'd rather hear what Shaziz has to say than to be interrupted by all of a sudden...
Shaziz told me to interrupt him if I had something to say.
Yeah, it's fine. Listen. This is the same rabbit hole we keep going down, everybody, even in the alternative energy community, because the terminology that I'm using and the way that I'm trying to explain things to people doesn't necessarily jive with everybody's belief on how everything functions. I'm just putting out my specific point of view on how I believe that things in this world work. Now, when I look at the atom, the proton, the neutron, and electron, according to the way the book is set up, Copper atom has 29 electrons. Each one of those electrons only have so much energy in them. You know, they're capable of generating, you know, not generating per se, but to combining with each other. Every magnetic field out there, regardless of whether it's a permanent magnet or an electromagnet, is every magnetic field will couple with one another. So when you have electrons interacting with each other, that energy release that's going on down in there, because we can't exactly see what's happening, we explain it as basically they're coupling, they're creating a stronger field. The more of them that couple, the stronger the field gets, and so on and so forth. So as the standard equipment runs right now, we do use coils. And there are methods that I believe that have been in the past where they don't use coils. Tesla talked about the surface area being the most important thing on the coils itself, because if you think about if you could flatten out all the wire that's on a Tesla coil into one solid sheet, that's the surface area that's how many electrons would be actually in there. It just seems that insulated copper wire seems to build up a higher pressure because of the number of turns on there. The more turns you get, the thinner the wire, the higher the pressure, the higher the voltage goes. Now, my research doesn't entail current watts and amps, and I know that's where it gets myself in trouble, because I'm not looking for the current watts and amps up until the point when I've actually put something on under a load. I don't need that current watts and amps. All I need is a high voltage frequency that I can create a high enough spark, like the static, the electricity that you build up on a Van de Graaff generator, or the static electricity that you're going to build up on a Wimshurst machine or a Lord Kelvin generator. That high voltage charge shooting across the spark gap that is then in turn dumping into a tank circuit such as a capacitor bank. Once that capacitor bank is filled up, then that potential energy that is within that capacitor is more than enough to run inverters. You can use a capacitor as a battery. And so with that said, now you're into their timing rate, how long each capacitor will last, how many capacitors you're going to need in order to build a huge enough bank to actually run an inverter. So the math, to me, doesn't apply until I get to that point when I have this stored energy, and then now we can go back into the math and we could say current watts and amps supply. The system that I'm talking about is to be able to take a high voltage charge and dump it as fast as physically possible into a capacitor bank and fill that capacitor bank. If you think of the capacitor bank as a swimming pool, you know, if you only got a quarter of the water in there and you got a pipe out the bottom of it, that's all you got. And if you start to drain that pipe out, it will go down. What I'm talking about is dumping enough high frequency, high voltage waves into that capacitor bank to literally keep it full continuously. So now that you have real time on demand power, and so it doesn't, from start to finish, doesn't require a lot of current watts and amps until you get to the point when you're actually going to put it under a load. And by that time, you've already have the storage capabilities of, let's say, a big old giant tanker of water. Now you have all the pressure, all the current you want. You could raise or lower the pressure on the opposite side via a thinner wire, thinner pipe, or bigger wire, or bigger pipe to get more current flow out the opposite side. This is what I've been trying to tell people forever in the day. And you can take any frequency. It doesn't matter. Any frequency out there will do the exact same thing. Every bit of energy out there, it moves in waves. Why, I have no idea. You'll have to ask God that question. But that from all the research that I've done, frequency matters. And so if you've got all these waves, that you can run side by side with one another that won't interact with each other to the extent that they cancel each other out. Now you can, now you're talking about taking, let's just say, 1 hertz, 2 hertz, 3 hertz, 4 hertz, 5 hertz, and so on, running simultaneously side by side with each other, acting each other as carrier waves, or just running side by side with each other. Now, if there's a range at which the electron will actually interact with any of this frequency that you're sending down that wire, as it's going down the wire, and the electrons will start to interact with each other, they will create a magnetic field that will couple with the next one and so on down the line, and then you will get a small amount of current flow going down that wire. Now, if you have a second wave coming in right behind that doing the exact same thing, now you're building up even more pressure and even more current, and eventually you'll get to the point where you have so much action going on in that wire that the electrical wire itself will begin to get hot, which in turn will melt off the coating of the wire on there and destroy your generator. So there's going to be a point at which it will run the best and the coolest without having to put near as much energy in there. You can make a high voltage frequency generator on a specific frequency just using anything like a Van de Graaff generator or a Wimshurst generator. It's the speed and the amount of voltage that's coming out that other side that's going to determine what that frequency is on the opposite side. If you have a energy source, and then between that energy source, you have a variac that you can actually turn up and down the speed on the Van de Graaff generator and measure on the opposite side the energy coming off the top of that Van de Graaff generator. You'll notice that your frequency range will change. In a spark gap, you can shorten the spark gap or you can widen the spark gap, which will take and change the timing of the energy jumping across that gap to the other side. That little split second in between the time that that energy gets strong enough to leap across that spark gap will determine what frequency range is coming out the other side. And then things such as resistance would apply as well, how much energy you can put down a copper wire or whatever, but I'm just basically talking about from the time that it jumps across that gap to the time that you measure it will determine what the frequency range is. So all the rest of that stuff is going to be research that we all have to get together on and try to build electric motors that work like the Tesla turbine that, you know, you spin an air across flat disk, you know, and that air builds up enough pressure that it can literally turn that turbine. You see where I'm coming from? Anybody? Did I lose
you?
Yeah,
I see where you're coming from. Justin was trying to talk about that. He's talking the homopolar and monopolars. Why don't you explain those, Justin? Because that was the subject you were going for.
Are you there, Justin? We got dead air going on.
Well, anyway. If you got a ring magnet, you got all the... you got, like, the north heading one direction on it, and your shaft goes through the middle, and you spin a disc. The inside, if you spin the disc one way, the metal disc, the inside will have a negative charge, outside will have a positive charge, and vice versa if you turn it the other direction. I looked at one that that Justin was showing me, and it's that thing was huge. It was able to put out about 5 billion watts. And it was at some university, I don't quite remember. I was hoping he was ready for it there. I might have torqued his jaw there because, I don't know, I just wanted you to finish your subject without being interrupted so you'd be understood.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's just, we got everything we need, man. We got everything we need to do the research. We got everything, equipment ideas and stuff combined out there. We could do this thing. We could literally build the perfect generator. And we can do it in harmony with nature. You know, they're so it's so super simple to make high voltage that it's just crazy, you know. But high voltage alone isn't going to run your toaster. You need resistance. And so also I'm working on a similar system where in which I'm sending two opposite frequencies in opposite directions in order to now get the electrons so excited in the tungsten element that it will literally create that resistance with less input. And if you can understand what it is that I'm trying to say, imagine you're sending an energy wave one way, and as that energy wave goes through and begins to hit the electrons of the tungsten element, and then at that one frequency by itself isn't going to be enough to create the resistance that will actually cause the tungsten element to get hot and begin to glow. But if you could visualize now, then sending another frequency through to those electrons on the opposite side, now you will begin to build up resistance because the electrons in there are beating the heck out of each other, trying to figure out which direction they want to go. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now you get the friction, which in turn creates heat, which in turn creates light, or cooks your toast, either way. These are what I'm working on. Who else we got in here?
We got Bill.
Hey Bill, how's it going? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just waking up, doing my coffee and chaga, listening to you guys and trying to fit it all in my brain.
Well, you know, it sounds all high tech, but really it's not. It's a simple, you know, it's as simple as plumbing, you know, how water gets from one point to the next. It's you've got just as much water on one side as you'll have on the other side. You know, you haven't lost anything, you haven't gained anything, unless it all evaporates before it gets there. Either way, it's still in the system, so you haven't lost or gained anything. You know, their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed. So when I start off with 50 gallons of water on one side, running it down a pipe into another container, I got 50 gallons on the other side. The only difference in the system, the way that I'm talking about using the system and how I believe the system should function, is that as you have that motion of the water going from point A to point B, there is energy potential in the motion of that water going on the opposite side. You know, if you had a way to put a couple buckets on a teeter-totter, you know, and you have one up in the air and it's filling the water down, and then when it gets to the other side, some force on the opposite side pushes the other bucket back up and keeps that water tilting back and forth, and you could capture the energy in between as it's going from point A to point B. That's what I'm talking about doing. You know, Raymond was talking about that drinking bird deal, you know, how it works. Heating up and the liquid in one side, it goes up into the head, fills up the head, and then the head drops down into a cool deal that cools it back down and causes it, just like the Stirling engine, you know what I mean? It's all basic stuff.
Propane, he wasn't using propane. What was he trying to use? I think he was trying to use Freon on it there.
No, I don't know what he was going to put in it, but the concept, you've seen the little birds before, and they'll sit there and run for a river in a day.
I could see that big one. He said last he tried it there, he didn't have the luck that he thought he would, but he ain't going to give up on it.
Well, I hope you don't. Stephen Gibbons in the chat room said spirals, not waves. They just look like waves on an oscilloscope. Well, you know, it could very well be right. But either way, when they either a spiral or a wave, it's got a north and a south on there somewhere or another that's rocking them molecules back and forth, just like, you know, the book says. And here's the difference. Here's the problem. Whenever you talk about the book, we're sitting here arguing over spirals, waves, and whether to use copper wire or not use copper wire, whether to use coils or not use coils. And so we're going by what the book had told us. That's all we have to work with. That's the only explanation we can give for what's going on. There may be something completely different as far as the way that terminology would explain it out into reality. But this is the best way that we can explain what we've got, what we're talking about. Either way, I know how a radio frequency works. I've seen how radios work. I know that as far as all the information that I've studied, everything appears to be going out in waves. Maybe it is a spiral from inner to outer or whatever. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. Either way, it's going to function the same way. That once this energy is either expanding out or spiraling out, the stronger the input on one side, it causes a reaction from electron to electron that creates a magnetic field that runs our electric motors and so on and so forth. And then the resistance builds up the heat that we use for our electric heaters and whatever. But I believe that there is an easier way to do this without near as much fuel input or, like you plugging your electric fan into the wall. Does it really take 120 volts AC to run an electric fan? Or could it be done on less if you could send the energy down the wire itself as opposed to creating such a strong magnetic field in a primary coil or secondary windings or whatever that in turn creates a magnetic field that interacts with the one on the opposite side and turns the rotor. You see what I'm saying? The two fields don't have to cross each other's path. All they got to do is interact with each other in order to get the same amount of work. That's all.
Can I interrupt you there, Sus?
Go ahead.
The question about the waves and stuff, I could define that really well. In a magnet and a bar magnet, they are what we see as lines, but they are waves, and they're in a constant velocity. They're constantly moving. Now, in a sphere magnet, the same thing applies, but they can be manipulated and distorted. Now, in our magnet, our Earth, we see them, the aurora borealis. They're not lines. They're not waves. They are spirals. And when you blow the smoke out of your mouth from a cigarette, or you see the fire in front of your face, or the ocean, everything is spiraling, the hurricanes, the tornadoes. So in a natural sphere, a breathing, living sphere, they are in spirals. But in a man-made magnet, it is waves, constant velocity waves, because to take that magnet, you need a current and a voltage. So you have so many amps and so many voltage that cross that magnet to make that magnet, and that magnet would be out of ferrometal.
Anytime you have a discharge, any electrical discharge.
Can't hear you, sis.
Oh, sorry. I didn't have my headset on. Anytime you have an electrical discharge, and you can test this out yourself, you don't even need any coils or anything like that. Just get you a capacitor, charge it up, and put you a little AM radio next to it and discharge that capacitor. You will hear that wave going out. You'll hear it on that radio.
That's right, because the magnet has a constant velocity, right? And the radio has an input, so the input in the coil on the speaker part, the paper part, has a constant too. So there's two constant bubbles pushing on each other, and then when you send a wave out through our atmosphere, they counteract, they bounce off each other.
Well, so basically we're going down a different, we don't even need to be there. All we have to know is that there is a magnetic field to everything under the sun. Everything has a proton, neutron, electron. Now, what indeed that electromagnetic field or magnetic field off of anything is in reality, because science, you know, you can't see it with the exception of a magnet paper, and you can see the lines of flux going on. But regardless, all you have to do is get those fields to interact with each other. Right now, we use a brute force magnetic field to do so. if there was a way to literally put a switch on any magnet out there and flip it on and off really super fast, just flip that magnetic field, we'd be doing the same thing. All we're doing is sending a wave out that's interacting with other waves and creating the thing that we call electricity. That's it. It's as simple as that. So, you know, what you're doing with the Tesla coil is essentially you create a wave in the primary coil, which sends out a big wave out there, and then as that field is going up the secondary, which has a whole bunch of windings on there, you're building up high voltage pressure up that secondary. And then when right before that field gets ready to collapse, another wave comes in again and hits it again and keeps on doing this over and over repeatedly, slamming that wave upward and creating enough pressure that eventually comes out the top load of the Tesla coil, and you get all those nifty sparks and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, we're all on the same track. We're just calling it different things. And people's trying to do it using solid state. They're trying to do it using all kinds of stuff. Everything from the best chemical battery to the monopole magnets or whatever, you know. All I'm doing is trying to design a specific generator source that will build up the highest voltage possible and be able to tune that voltage like you'd tune a variac, a potentiometer, or a variable capacitor to change the frequency range of the energy coming out the opposite side. You know, it's obvious that
that's a good way to get a nice high voltage. You make a magnet disc, you can only spin it so fast.
Yeah.
But you just got a solid steel plate. And like we was talking there a little bit ago, you put a magnet facing towards that place, putting one pole towards that disc. If you got that disc balanced, man, you can spin that thing really fast. You can get some killer voltage out of it.
Yeah, and you know they've had magnets flying past coils of copper wire that they literally create a whole massive amount of heat. You know. And so, all of what we're all talking about, it doesn't matter what version of electronics we're talking about. Everything is all the same exact thing. It's all an interaction between these fields that are on every single electron, proton, neutron out there. All they're doing is interacting. They're bouncing off of each other. And for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So if you slam one real hard one direction, it's going to create an electromotive force or whatever you call it going in the opposite direction. Vice versa. And so, you know, it's a matter of how you manipulate that energy around you, right? Yeah, like if I throw a pebble in the pond, it's going to send out a wave. And then you're standing there next to me and I throw a freaking brick inside the pond and it throws slops you in the face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
that's what it is to me, you know. It's
I got a question for Justin here.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On the homopolar motor there, generator, that's the one with the disc magnet behind, real close to the disc, right?
Yeah, there's different.
The question is, the wider the circumference or the wider the diameter of that disc, does that give more voltage or the thickness of it? Does that even help? Or
yes.
What have you studied on the parameters and how to get that? If you want the max, if you have just a single strength of magnetism, what would get the most out of it? A larger diameter, a thicker diameter? A thicker disc, and I imagine that kicked more amperage and stuff too.
Yeah,
right?
You want to make
What are the parameters? How would you figure out and design something to get the voltage on?
Well, Tesla left us the toy. We've all probably played with it, as, you know, growing up.
But yeah, you want cylinders and you want them to be solid. Shaping them, you know, into I guess tetrahedrons, it gives you more voltage and less amperage, less current.
I wasn't talking cylinders. I was talking basically discs.
Yeah, your discs. If you make them cylinders, or if you make them spheres. If you make them cylinders, solid, then you're going to have more current. And current's what everybody wants. If you have only half of it, and it tapers into a sphere, and the other one tapers into a sphere, a tetrahedron, then you're going to get more current, or voltage, and less current.
So the more diameter, the more voltage, the thicker the disc,
yes.
So would be your amperage. So a ball would be maximum amperage, and the wider, flatter disc would be more voltage, which you'd still wind up with the same power, correct? Because the energy stuck in and the magnet still being the same as the...
That's right. Okay. The more you have opposing, the more. See, if... For example,
for a wider disc, you need a wider magnet too, correct?
For an example, we all understand if you have a straight line down the center and your wave, your electrical wave, A, B, C, D, E, F. A to B is your peak voltage, B to C is your drop, C to D is your drop voltage, and then D to E would be your rise and your drop voltage. When you're spinning one disc one way, with your north and your south magnets on the outside of them, you do the next disc and you alternate the magnets so that your magnets on your left would be north-south, and then your next disc would be south-north. So you're having both opposing waves so that it makes one wave.
Wait a minute now. So these magnets would be facing each other in an attractive fashion.
That's right, because...
Okay,
that's right.
So in other words... All the north would be on the right, all the south would be on the left, but in between you're looking at two different polarities of the magnet because that continues to strengthen the field and drag it across and focus it across your plate, correct?
Yeah, you're sending a wave down to the center of the disc. Your circumference is your positive voltage, and the center would be your negative voltage. Now, when that would be disc one. Now, with disc two, your magnets would be flip-flopped, so your center would be your positive, and your circumference would be your negative. So from A to B to C to D to F, one disc would be on top, and then the other disc would be on the bottom. So left disc would be starting from A to B as your top voltage, your peak voltage, and disc two would be your bottom voltage, your A to B and your drop voltage.
Right. And on the opposite side of a magnet, you'd have to turn it the other direction, which would actually, on a shaft, you could mount it to the shaft because both of them go in the same direction.
They're going in the same direction.
Right. And they'd both be put positive on the outside, negative on the inside in one direction, and the opposite if you spun it the other direction.
And thus, there's no resistance. There's no coils to make a cogging effect.
Right. Oh, yeah, there ain't no cogging because you're not getting closer or farther away from anything that has to do with magnetism or Lenz law. There is no Lenz law in that, I don't think, because the magnets are not they're not in movement, and the discs aren't in movement compared to the magnet. They're stationary.
That's what I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to get at, is that the math is controlled. You can see it right in the books in front of us. For instance, Faraday, it was originally Faraday's equation, and Lenz come along and put the minus sign in the equation. Now, we all know as biochemists and chemists and engineers and electrical engineers that everything consists of three: add, divide, and multiply. You have men that come along like James Clerk Maxwell. You know, he was born in 1831, died in 1879. He was a Scottish mathematician, but he played the game for the Royal Institution, and he come up with quantum mechanics. I'm not saying that the math is wrong by any means. Nobody can disprove that the math is wrong, but we've only allowed ourselves to go with coils. Now, the word that I've been saying for the last few days, homogyroelectric magnetism, is the same thing as that generator, but the discs are opposing. therefore repulsing all the light, making it its own atmosphere. My daughter's calling. I gotta cool inside for a moment.
All right. Yeah, I want to ask about one more thing on that when you get back.
So either way, what we're talking about is manipulating fields, and whether it's a wave or a spiral or whatever is neither here nor there. When those fields interact with each other, that's the reaction that we need in order to get the electron flow that finally eventually calculates in the currents, watts, and amps. So, with that said...
We need to build one of these, she says.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to try anything. All I want to build is a high voltage generator that, in turn, that I can energize plasma, that then I can get more control over the frequency range at which the energy is coming out the other side. Charged capacitors using frequencies coming out of Slayer exciters, of charged capacitors with regular Tesla coils. A bug zapper fly swatter circuit of charged capacitors energized in Tesla coils.
Think about this. You take the rear wheel of a 27 or 28 inch 10 speed or 15 speed bike. You take the rear wheel. Let's say you cover that sucker with foil and kind of make it kind of smooth and everything, get it all where it's going to stay on there real good. Maybe epoxy it, I don't care. But, you know, you can make that rear wheel fly. You put a magnet one direction on it, maybe another one on the other side the opposite direction. You could stack that whole system up. You could stack that whole system up, man. When I looked at that one at that museum, actually it was at some college, one of your upper echelon colleges, and I looked at the size of that thing, I said, man, that thing is huge. And when reading the stuff, they were looking like 50 billion watts. And I was like, holy moly. To me, it's just a magnet.
Yeah.
You don't have to wind any coils. Just the brushes to take all that off there. I'd love to see a little experiment with that. The frame could be your ground or your center or your negative.
Yep.
If you spin it one way, and then basically the outside, just a brush on the outside would take the voltage off of that.
Well, that's another. When you said ground, it reminded me of another thing. That's another issue that I've been working on as well. I have successfully been able to simulate a ground using just a chunk of metal on the opposite side. You know, those electrons are looking for a path to go. You know,
you're giving it more surface area of another piece of metal to sit there and go back and forth. So it acts kind of like a floating ground of capacitance.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not going to get a better ground than the Earth itself. I mean, the Earth is a huge tank circuit. But as far as for a lot of different applications, you know, picking up wireless energy, you can simulate a ground that it will still allow you to receive enough energy to charge things up or whatever. So, you know, a simulated ground is an important process in this whole deal. But like I've been saying all along, the Wimshurst, the Van de Graaff generator, the Lord Kelvin generator, all these different ones right there capable of creating a massive amount of high voltage. And like you were talking about stacking on there, you could stack on so many of these that you could actually literally overflow the capacitor bank to the extent that when it becomes pressurized, it's either going to discharge itself or blow up, one of the two. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, people are worried about about the magnetic field waves or EM, whatever you call it, electromagnetic waves in the system. We live around waveforms everywhere. You know, if you got an electric motor running, there's a field being generated there. Anything that's running electrical, the power lines outside. You could literally walk underneath the power line with a wireless AC tester, and you can measure that field anywhere from 15 to 30 feet or more away from that power line, depending on how much energy is coming down that power line.
Right.
And so that's all, in my mind, that's all wasted energy. You know, you could be recapturing that energy. I actually did a video about recapturing waste energy once or twice. But
what I found out about, like a transformer, if you add another coil and you short it out, the primary starts having to put out more amps. When you take away the power, that field on the outside is part of its operation. When you start draining the field on the outside, it takes more to go back into it.
Well, Cultus was doing a video here recently about the bucking coil. Did you ever see that?
The bucking coil? I heard that. I have no idea what it is, though. I don't think I studied it.
Well, either way, it had part of it was shorted out. You know, as an intentional short it to the other side or whatever. And he was able to get results out of it that just didn't make any sense. And so that's worth something looking into. But either way, you know, whether it's be a disc or coils or whatever, it doesn't matter to me. If you look at the Wimshurst generator, it doesn't have any coils on it at all. All it is picking up static energy, you know, and then charging up a capacitor.
Can I get in on this one?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. If you take a battery, a normal conventional battery, and if you take the two leads and you had wires on them, and you touch the two wires over and over and over, one wire will heat up more than the other wire. With the Wimshurst, if you take the two wires and you touch them over and over and over and over, both wires will heat up equally. Okay, and the atmosphere of each material between those two discs is the same. So if you have aluminum and aluminum on both sides, we see them as diamagnetic. They're like balloons. Now, every time they pass each other, they equally push each other, and that is collected by the collector combs and then sent down the iron into lighting jars or whatever kind of stored battery that you would want, capacitor, whatever you want to call it for conversation's sake.
Did you call them lighting jars instead of lighting jars?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
But
Nice thought.
But it's equally on both sides, the positive and negative.
Well,
compared to a natural battery. And the Wimshurst is on the Egyptian pyramids, too.
Either way, if you got, let's say you got one Wimshurst generator, all right, and it's producing a high voltage charge. Let's say you now have a duplicate system side by side with that on a horizontal shaft. Now you're going to get an even more charge. If you had 10 Wimshurst on one shaft, could you imagine how much energy you could build up on there as far as high voltage alone? Boy, I could hear crickets going on that one. Did I brainwash you there or something?
I'm still trying to figure it out. Say it one more time.
All right. Imagine you got a horizontal shaft. One horizontal shaft. And, of course, it's going to have to be cutting sections and bearings in there and have to get all technical because both of these discs on the Van de Graaff, or the Wimshurst, have to be going in opposite directions of each other.
Right.
So every other one, you got two discs and those going in opposite direction, then you got another set of two discs going in opposite directions, and so on down the line. You've got 10 of these on one shaft. And so while all these things are turning, which doesn't take a whole lot of torque to turn them, you're producing a massive amount of high voltage.
The thing is, it's the way it is, the Wimshurst, it's consuming. You use iron. You can use copper and stuff for coming off of your combs and stuff, but if you use thick iron instead of like thin copper, You accumulate a huge charge. You're sucking in the atmosphere around it, and you're creating poles. One disc would have a north pole on the one side, and one disc would have a south pole. Everybody that's using them, they're using them with just thin copper, or they're using really thin iron. But if you use big iron, then you're going to accumulate more. Going back, that's the same with what Edlead Scallon was doing. He had five rows of 24 magnets in each row, and 12 and 12 opposing for each row,
and he was making a constant current, but he was making a homopolar generator, same thing as a Wimshurst. He's accumulating a huge charge. That's why all the iron everywhere.
Well, it's all in the material, no matter what you're making, you know. I mean, as far as a superconductor electric motor, if you had gold strand wire, gold being the best conductor of electricity as far as just natural materials or whatever, you could imagine how efficient that electric motor could be. You know, it's obviously everybody can't afford gold coils on their electric motor, so we use copper. But either way, man, it's all just about materials. It's all about how you move it from point A to point B. And all I'm talking about doing is taking and using the knowledge that I've gathered so far on how the current flow actually gets going to begin with. You know, something shakes loose the electron off of the atom, and enough of those moving around, we call electron flow, which is then in turn called electricity. So, if you can do it in an easier fashion, such as sending a wave directly through the wire, as opposed to an external force that you have to either energize with another source over on one side, or create a mechanical magnetic field north-south, flipping around a coil wire to get the lines of flux across the wheel and shake loose the electron. All I'm talking about doing is basically reaching down that wire and tickling the electron, get it to go, do what it does to interact with the next one in line, and so on and so forth, to create the magnetic field necessary to turn a electric motor or generator. If this could be accomplished, it would redefine how we actually look at electricity. It would make basically cold electricity, because you wouldn't have to worry about any heat in the system. It would never get hot. You'd have an electric motor that would last forever, because the coating on the electric motor is the only thing that ever goes bad. Outside of burning the wire completely in half or breaking the wire, the only thing that ever makes an electric motor go bad is when the coating on the wire gets destroyed. It shorts it out. Instead of 1,000 turns, you only got 1 or 2 turns. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So this method, you could literally, with the least amount of effort, move energy from point A to point B without all the waste energy, without all the waste heat, and so on and so forth. And so if the generator itself doesn't have to work hard to produce the energy necessary to do what the work you need, isn't that what we're all talking about? Isn't that what we're all looking for? If you can fill a capacitor up, you know, and maybe it gets to the point where instead of capacitors, maybe we find out some other better method by which to storage. You know, we use like the Leyden jars. Those are capacitors essentially, but it's different than the electrolytic capacitor, or, you know, just a couple of sheets of aluminum foil and plastic and aluminum foil can make a capacitor.
Tesla's battery, its medium, wasn't a liquid. It consisted of a radiant clay, which was induced clay.
Well,
so that's why it lasted longer, but still had the same punch, because it was decaying the two elements inside of it, but it wasn't decaying them as fast.
There's debate out there whether or not there's even satellites in space. There's a debate whether or not our moon is even real or whatever. There's all kinds of crazy debate out there. I don't know what to believe anymore. Did we go to the moon? Did we not go to the moon? Is there a moon? Is there not a moon? Or whatever, you know. But the fact remains is, if there was satellites in space, and if they did go to the moon, they had some really amazing battery technology to do so, especially going to Mars and sending rovers around there. They've got some amazing battery technology, because the sun isn't up all day long, and so you're going to have something that's going to charge quickly, solar panels or whatever. You know, that NASA and all these guys out there in the mainstream science community or whatever, they know a few things. You know, there's a lot of technology out there that we're not being told about. I'm 1,000% positive on that. I'm 150,000% positive. There's things out there they don't want us to know about. I mean, for example, if the video nuclear scare scam is true, we've had free energy forever and a day. You know, the radioactive material, when that material's decaying, it releases energy. That energy could be captured up in coils of wire, you know, or plates, aluminum plates, like Tesla's radiant energy patent. You know, you can literally pick up that energy as it's decaying because it's interacting with the material on the opposite side. There's electricity there. And so, if that was the case, and radioactive material isn't deadly to humans, then everybody could have a nuclear reactor in their yard. And there's tons and tons of waste radioactive material that no longer is hot enough to boil water. However, it's still decaying, so it's still releasing energy. And so, there's tons and tons of material out there that has potential energy to it. You know, wind you up a bunch of coils of wire, drop them down in the radioactive material, and basically seal it off, and there you go. You got a battery that'll last freaking forever, man, until that doggone material finally decays away and it's no longer deteriorating and releasing energy. Radioactive. It's only they call it radioactive for a reason. I mean, you can measure radioactivity, so something's going on there. If something's radioactive, it's sending out a wave. It's sending out a frequency that can be captured. So if you want to drain off a radioactive material, like if you're stupid enough to boil water with radioactive material, and now the water is radioactive, and you're trying to get rid of that energy, then why wouldn't they run that energy through a coil system that would literally recapture that energy and use it, you know? You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Maybe Justin got it.
Well, see, that's the thing. Everybody's running around, and we all know that we can punch holes and put copper rods into the ground. And we know we get a steady voltage, you know, and if you're lucky, you might, oh my God, 0.1 of an amp, milliamp. But that's just like a cup of water. You don't know what to do with it. If you take the cup of water and you fill it up full and you put a card over top of the cup and you tip the cup upside down and you let go of the card, the water will stay in the cup because it has equal potential on both sides of the cup. So when you're running around sticking the rods in the ground, what you don't understand is that it's pushing back on us the same. You need to interfere, create change.
Yeah, I agree. You could, there's so many different ways that you could do that. You know?
And Tesla's patent shows that. So he has a large plate that can accumulate a large current potential in it. And then it gets discharged through a capacitor in his simple schematic. But that schematic is definitely 100% controlled. The idea is there. Can you follow through with the idea? Yeah.
Well, like I said, it's been around. There is no energy crisis. Never has been an energy crisis. It's been a scam from start to finish. You know, they tell you it takes this much coal to burn to make this much energy, you know, and you never can get out more than you put in. Well, the point is, we're not trying to get out more than we put in. We're just trying to use it efficiently, you know. And the way that we do it right now with our electrical grids, they're highly inefficient. I mean, they're just stupid how inefficient they are. Your electric meter's over there spinning like a freaking top because you're drawing so many amps, currents, and watts, and the majority of that you don't even need. If it only takes 9 volts AC or 9 volts DC, either one, to run your doggone digital clock, why are you spending the money that it takes to run it off of 120 volts AC? Why couldn't you design that electrical clock to piggyback on your TV set or something like that? That way you're only using one transformer as opposed to two transformers. Why isn't your house a smart grid in itself that will only use the amount of electricity that it takes to get the job done? The fact of the matter is, the more alarm clocks they can sell you, or wall warts like Muddy calls them, the more money they can make off electricity. And then the more that they can complain about global warming and climate change and carbon this and carbon that, the more that they can charge you because, oh, look, there's a problem. We got to fix it, you know. And whenever we got to fix it, you got to pay more on your bill because we have to be able to absorb that cost. They never sit there and show you the size of the wallet of the men and women who own the power companies. They don't show you their bank account. They don't show you that they're making money hand over fist. And when they supposedly don't make money hand over fist, they get government subsidies, so you're paying them anyway. You see what I'm saying? The whole system is ludicrous. You're paying for something that you could be getting for free. You know, okay, solar panels. Throw solar panels up there. One little solar panel by itself, is that enough to run your whole house? It's obviously it's not. So you're going to go out and buy a huge deal that's going to cost you thousands of dollars. Eventually it'll pay itself off because you're not having to pay electric bill, but it's the upfront cost that the average Joe can't afford.
It's not even that. If a solar panel company comes into your city and opens up there, every child should learn how to make that solar panel, because solar panels are really only 15% efficient anyways. So by the time that child learned that at 7 years old, 6 or 5, maybe even 4 years old, got to come to dad, you know, work for the whole week with them, that child's going to take that knowledge. By the time he's 30, that knowledge will have sunk in, he'll have twisted it, retwisted it, and posted it back in his filing cabinet in his head and made it 100% efficient.
Yeah, but who cares whether they're 15% efficient or not? 15% is more than
that's
enough.
Planned obsolescence.
I've taken a 40-watt solar panel and charged up three lawn and garden batteries that stay perfectly charged and have been for at least 4 or 5 years. I don't even need more than 40 watts because I don't use that much energy off that specific deal. I can just run that doggone three batteries all night long, leave the lights on, and not have to pay for the doggone bill. So this is just one little setup in my lab. That's not even what you can do in your house.
No, I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that if you take the Motorola phone, remember the first original old Motorola phones, how big they were?
Yeah.
That's my child, 5 years old. She understands that Motorola phone 30 years, 20 years down the road. That phone now can fit in her breast pocket because she designed it that small, and it has so many more functions. So the solar panel is 15% efficient. It lasts for so many years. Now, if you can take that solar panel and put it in your hand and have it do 10 times more power in just the size of your hand, then why not?
Well, you know, and I'm fine with advancements, and that's the knowledge that we're trying to push out here. Hopefully, people will take it and run with it. You know, if I come up with an idea, I'm not looking to patent it or copyright it or anything like that. I'm just telling you something that I noticed that you could take that idea and expand on it and make whatever. That's the whole key. Mad science thing hasn't got nothing to do with getting rich or famous or anything like that. It's an idea bucket. You know, I throw my idea in there, you throw your idea in there, and somebody out there grab that idea and run with it. If you make $1 billion off an idea that I got, I don't care. Not even going to ask you for a donation once you get filthy, stinking rich. I'm just going to say, good deal. You know?
Yep, that's right. I'm just trying to say is that we should be paying a little more attention to our children. I know that you're a role model in your city or your town, whatever you want to call it. I know you go to church. I know you do all that stuff. Have you gone to a school and brought a Vandegraaff machine to the school and a Tesla coil to the school?
Oh, yeah. I do that. I go to
a church function,
and I take things like Slayer Exciters and my latest designs, and I even took the electron motorcycle, the self-charging motorcycle up there, you know, rode it around for people, showed them what's what. See, now I know 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is more than possible to literally build an electric vehicle that will charge itself without a doubt. No ifs, ands, or buts. They say, well, you can't because you got too many losses. You got losses in mechanical. You got heat losses and losses this. Well, I got this thing that I call Project Overkill. If it only takes a firecracker, I use a nuke, all right? And so you can imagine my electric motorcycle as all the charging systems are on there. There is more electricity there than I need, way more than I need. I put on there more electricity, and my full intention is to build an AC version of what I've done with the DC version and have so much doggone electricity going on that bike, it's just stupid. You know, if there's lightning bolts heading out the back of it, then I'm going to be satisfied. Just to prove a point. You know, because, you know, if you only have 36 volts to work with, and your generator can only charge 36 volts with such a time period, the question then is going to be, how long will your battery last before it runs down, where the generator has to kick in, or if the generator is working continuously, what's going to last longer and keep up with the usage demand, the generator or the battery? And the way the system's designed right now, if you got an electric motorcycle, you can't put the energy back in fast enough because they're using the wrong method by which to do it. You've got all kinds of forces going on in that motorcycle while you're flying down the road. You got wind pressure in your face, which could be grabbed up by turbines. You've got two wheels on that motorcycle that can be used to put the equivalence of a Van de Graaff generator, even the generator system like what you're talking about, that won't have a back EMF that will throw you off the bike as soon as the generator kicks in, because there's no direct connection and the electrons can't make a path back to create the back EMF that would create the braking effect that would throw you on your face when you're trying to charge your bike up. So now when you're flying down the road, the faster you go, the higher the voltage gets, the more energy shoved into the capacitor banks of that system, which is then in turn pushed into the battery. And you're producing way more energy than you need, you know? So it could get to the effect where it's like a road warrior style motorcycle where you get this little red line that pops up on your dash and you need to push the button to discharge that thing up somewhere, and you're shooting lightning bolts out of the front of your motorcycle because you're producing too much energy. You see what I'm saying? Go look at those doggone stator motors that they got in the direct drive washing machines and dryers. A guy hooked one of those up to a doggone Briggs & Stratton motor. It's like 3 or 4 horse Briggs & Stratton motor. Hooked that up to there and fired that thing up, and he was sending huge arcs off of that thing. And we're not talking about the arcs like you see around Tesla coils. We're talking about serious high voltage arcs that would literally kill you if you touched that. I mean, he was creating fire out the end of those things. Now, if you could do that with the doggone 5-horse or 3 or 4-horse Briggs & Stratton engine and create that much energy, could you imagine what you could do with that much energy potential if you were not trying to pump it into a coil system and then create the back EMF that would drag that thing down and bring it to nearly a dead stop? If you were just shooting that energy across to a capacitor bank and charging that thing up, you would get to the point where those capacitors, if you did not discharge them as rapidly as you was filling them up, they would either arc across each other or they would literally explode. Have you ever seen a capacitor blow up before? It's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I put them in the fire all the time.
I used to stick them on the end of an extension cord. Working at the TV station, we stick them on the end of the extension cord, throw a bunch of newspaper in the trash can on top of it, and then walk across the room and go plug the sucker in. That's pretty fun.
Well, you can see where I'm coming from then, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of...
Especially inside of a what do you call it, cinder block building, you know.
pretty loud in there.
There's a lot of power potential in capacitors. The storage capacity in there, like I've been saying a million times and one, that an 800 microfarad capacitor will blow your finger right off your hand.
Oh, yeah. I was so inspired. I grabbed a whole newspaper and a big old thing of aluminum foil, and I laid the newspaper out, and then I laid the aluminum foil out, then I laid some more newspaper out, and another layer of aluminum foil. And just to be safe, I went ahead and put one more sheet of newspaper on top. And I did this pretty much the length of the room. And I rolled that sucker up, and it was fatter than a stick of dynamite. And I had my wires, you know, where I stripped them bare and then rolled the aluminum foil around it and crimped it down for a real good, tight connection on both of them before I rolled them up. Man, I plugged that thing in, and I was so disappointed. I said, man, I wanted to blow that trash can apart, but it wouldn't do it. The thing held. It did, you know, straight to the wall. You know, it wouldn't blow it.
Well, look at them doggone.
Warm, but they did hold a good charge. If I put a diode on the 120, I wound up getting, I was getting up around 200. Not bad. And it would hold the charge for a while.
Look
probably
at them,
about 30, 40 minutes. Not bad.
Look at them doggone rail guns that people been working on. Russ did one. It was pretty impressive. You know, and there's some rail guns out there that are just incredible how much power that they got. You know, sending a piece of iron across the doggone deal using a magnetic field. And they're using capacitors to charge their capacitors up. Russ has got a deadly capacitor bank over there, man. Hope you be careful around that doggone thing, because the energy that thing releases is just nuts. But, you know, like I said, if this system was done right, you could use strictly high voltage to dump that energy into those banks. You could have the system set up with a breaker relay or something that would only discharge that capacitor when it was completely full. And then once that thing was completely full and it would discharge across to whatever, you know, it's more than possible. And as far as the AC version motorcycles, I don't know if you've ever looked into it, but some of them AC motorcycles that they put out there, electric, are just crazy fast.
Yeah, they're exoskeletons. Yeah, they're cool.
They started out with the three-phase, RC plane. You can put the three-phase motors on that prop. Man, suckers are good. They started putting the three-phase on the little electric bikes now.
Yeah, have you seen them doggone motors for the RC airplanes and cars and stuff? They got like their own built-in fans and everything to keep them cool. And those things have some serious RPMs going on. Now, if you can make a little bitty remote control car go that fast, you can imagine how you can do on anything. As far as I'm concerned, anything can be scaled up, can be scaled down in either direction. If it works one way, it'll work the opposite way as well. So, you know, with that said, we could build an electric car that would just, you know, Back to the Future style, you know. 1.21 gigawatts. You know, this is all elementary in my brain. It's all basic, and you know, maybe I need better terminology to be able to explain what it is that I'm trying to explain to folks, but I hope that today's show give you that explanation, what it is that I'm talking about. What is that tapping, man?
I don't know.
Electricity.
Oh, cool. All right, well, all I can say, this year 2015, we should be so much further advanced than what we are. I'm sick and tired of hearing about global warming / climate change / climate disruption / whatever they're going to call it next time around, because it changes according to the weather. If it's snowing outside, it makes them look stupid when they're hollering about global warming when everybody's freezing their booty off. And so if it's raining, that's climate change, you know, so on and so forth, that there's a desert. It has nothing to do with natural cycles or anything like that. It just has to do with you driving your car. Now, while they're complaining about you driving your car, they're not working on any solutions to you not having to drive that car. And then the folks that do make electric cars want to charge so much for them. What are you doing there? I keep hearing this clicking.
I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Electric flies water.
Oh, that explains it. Electricity. Don't learn about electrical safety by accident. Don't stick your tongue on it.
Boomer does that.
Yeah, no. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is the hypocrisy of the green movement out there slash doggone nature lovers and all that kind of stuff. If you care, if you seriously care and you seriously think it's a problem, then back up your local mad science researcher out there looking at people who are doing alternative energy. And another reason why I don't ask for money out there on the deal for donation is because there's so many people out there scamming people. Hey, give me money and I'll make you a free energy device. No, you give that information out there, and then if they want to, they want to pay you to construct it because they're not mechanically inclined, that's a different story.
Right.
But for people going out there milking everybody else for every penny that they can get, that disgusts me. You know, it's not about that.
I had a guy download my videos and was selling them on CDs.
See? I don't care. They
and
can
talking
get...
about a much bigger system than what I was playing with. Like, oh my goodness.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I brought them down. It took me a week.
But folks, there are honest researchers out there. And there are people out there that are community-based, honest researchers like Revolution Green. They have a GoFundMe account to get a 3D printer. I put a link. You see the picture at the bottom of it's right underneath the Wake Radio chat room on the Super Chat room, which has both the Wake Radio and Shaziz Radio chat rooms all in one. So that you can talk to people on both sides at the same time and listen in to whichever radio player you want to listen to. But Revolution Green is trying to get together a 3D printer. I don't know how much money they've collected thus far, but if you believe in what they're working on and can support them, then please do. By all means, support them. And support anybody out there that you know is going to work together in order to accomplish the goals of getting everybody free energy or the information to create it. So far, I look on their deal, and it looks like they've raised $50 out of their $1,300 goal. If you guys can throw a penny in the pot to help them out, that would be wonderful. You know,
that's 126. Don't lose hope yet.
Yeah. The only time you'll ever hear me asking for money is if it's for somebody else besides myself. And, you know, if I didn't believe in Revolution Green, I wouldn't have put their link on my channel. Good folks out there trying to come together. A 3D printer in the alternative energy community is a wonderful thing. Russ can print, Russ from RWG Research can print things for people for their research and so on and so forth. And so, you know, this is how it works. We all network together, we all pull our resources together, and we make things happen.
I just want an Atmo motor.
Yeah, there you go. See, I would love to have an Atmo motor myself. So if anybody is getting ready for like Christmas or birthdays or something like that and wants to throw one over my direction, I could do a little research with that and make some videos as well. So
I think I'll build me one, just a soap oatmeal box and a few other things like that first. But you know what? I think beforehand I want to take that bicycle wheel and I'm going to make that monopolar generator or homopolar generator.
Yeah.
I want to see what I can get out of that. I was impressed at it. I sat there and I saw that machine a few times in the past. I said, nah, I can't do nothing.
Well, throw a link in there.
After reading up on it, I said, wow.
Throw a link in there in the chat room. I'd like to check it out myself and see how it functions and try to duplicate it or whatever. But, you know, my ultimate goal is to create a generator that uses as less torque or less force necessary possible in order to generate a massive amount of high voltage, which in turn I aim to run a plasma reactor that I can use as a tuner to tune specific frequencies. Now, I'm sure that somewhere in this world there is a frequency generator that will probably do exactly what it is that I'm trying to accomplish, but funds-wise and knowledge-based, I don't know how to necessarily build that particular circuit necessary to do what it is. I know how to build a flare exciter. We got the diagrams out here on the Shaziz Radio website somewhere. And I know how to do a bug zapper fly swatter and a Tesla coil and all that kind of stuff, but I'm looking to do something a whole lot more precise so that I can literally track down the specific frequency that it takes to cause the interaction between electrons that we call electricity. That's what I'm working on. Whew, take a breath. All right, guys, well, we're right down to like the last 4 minutes of the show here. Any thoughts or anything?
Yeah. To be blunt is to hear the truth. The truth from a child is as blunt as you can get it. So as I speak, take it as a push, not an attack.
I don't take anything as an attack unless it's an all and all out, straight out insult like some of the things I've been called on my YouTube channel. I mean, I can't understand why people don't... I put videos out there to help people out, and some folks will read the doggone, they won't even read the description. They'll just read the title, thumb it down, and drive on. Or they get angry because something ain't right in the video or whatever, and instead of leaving me a comment, they'll just thumb it down and go on without listening to the whole content and figuring it out. Or they will basically throw a really super rude, filthy comment on there that I always delete and block them and ban them from my channel because I don't want my other decent people out there having to listen to that trash.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't deserve that.
So if you get blocked or banned from my YouTube channel, it's because you called me stupid without explaining why I'm so stupid. All right? If you ain't going to look at the idea, if you ain't going to question me, if you ain't going to say, hey, you know, I think that's a stupid idea, it has no basis in science or whatever, and just call me flat out ignorant without explaining your reasoning why, you know, where's your evidence, match it with my evidence, tell me why it is what I just said is so ignorant that you had to call me stupid. Otherwise, I reach over there with the mouse and I find that little delete button. I delete your comment and block you and ban you from my channel and my Google and my Facebook and everything under the sun, so I don't have to deal with it anymore. Because I want thinkers to watch my videos. I want people who are going to question. I don't want you to believe anything I say. I want you to go out and research it, because if you're researching it, you might just stumble on a piece of the puzzle I've been looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you are a free thinker, somebody who thinks outside the box, if you want to talk about how alien spaceships fly, then I want to hear it, because I want to know everything there is to know about everything there is to know. And I'm not going to find out about everything there is to know about everything there is to know if I don't listen to your side of the story. I don't know everything there is to know, otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. We'd already have this resolved and it'd be a done deal. The main thing that I'm trying to figure out is how to get people to work together. Either way, we're down to the wire, and so with that said, peace and love to everybody. You guys got any really super quick last word that you want to say?
It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Derp a derp.
All right. Well,
peace and love to the world.
Thanks,
keep
everybody.
Keep smiling, have a ball. Just do it. Whatever you got on your brain, don't be afraid to. Just like a prop, man. Prop. Don't be afraid to cut into that piece of wood to make a prop. It only cost you $2.70-something.
Yep, one man's junk is another man's treasure. And together we can accomplish major things. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Stay tuned. Tomorrow will be the Knights of the Round Table. And I hope to have you there, and hope everybody comes and tries to join in and making the world a better place. So with that said, stay tuned for the Hope Show. Peace and love, everybody.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Oh, 21G!